You know, they're buzzing around your head, and my job now is to grab those and land those thoughts ever so often when they're supposed to be on the runway, and then it gets the message out. So I have somebody, sorry, Aaron, but I have somebody that helps me do that when I'm doing my talkings and things. And Jeff's one does it today. Kyler gets the responsibility to helping me land my airplanes. And the scary thing about it is these airplanes are not just my thoughts. These are the Lord's airplanes that have to get on the ground and get out to you. That's a pretty ominous thing to think about, and a pretty strong responsibility. And that's why I'm still surprised to this day and to this moment that I'm here. Surprised I'm an elder. Surprised that I'm actually having to preach, even though Wes told us and he read to us often that that's part of the duties of an elder, is to teach and preach. The teaching I was okay with, especially when they were little bitty boys. That wasn't too bad. The preaching to you guys, that's a little bit different. But, you know, I am reminded of a story in the Bible that talks about how one time God talked through a donkey. So there's hope for me that today I can get a message out to you through the Lord. So we're going to do that. We're going to land some airplanes. Hopefully they're going to pop up on the screen to help me with that. And we're going to hear from the Lord. So if you'll go with me to prayer. Lord, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to us today, Lord, that we have soft hearts and open ears to hear your message, to receive it into our hearts so we can act upon it. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you see the paper shaking a little bit, I'm a little nervous. So, how many of you guys remember this phrase, just do it? Come on, I know more of you remember it than that. So I'm really bad at my talks too. I'm very participation oriented. So if you don't do it, I kind of single you out and make you do it. So, okay, yeah, that was an easy one, right? Okay, just do it. So now I've got one that might be a little bit harder, especially if there's any really young folks in here. And Kyler's going to play it. You're right, we do need different lighting. Okay, so do you remember that? With my little visual? And then there was the part of it too. He goes, Adrian! Adrian! But I go, Debbie! Debbie! Yeah, Rocky. So let me ask you a question. While you were thinking about Just Do It, you were hearing the song from Rocky, how did you remember those things? What was happening to help you remember those things? Any ideas? No? Boy, somebody should know this. At least one in this room should know this, but he's not allowed to talk today. So the way we do that is with our brain, and our brain thinks in pictures. So I would bet that most of you, or a lot of you, when I said just do it, you saw this big white thing, swash thing, right? You visualize that in your mind's eye, and then your brain could remember it. That's the way the brain works. Vision is a really strong part of that process. So when you heard the song, again, you probably saw him running up the steps, you know, or you saw him hollering out for Adrian. So you saw these pictures in your mind, and then we were able to remember those different things. So we've got a slide, and I'm going to ask you, now some of you probably have seen this or know this, so don't shout it out, but we assume that everybody in here has already been to see me or Dr. Jeff, of course, and you can see that really clearly. But yet, do you know what it is? Are there people in here that do not know what that is? Yep. Okay. So why is it? You see it really good. You see it clear. You got your glasses, you got your contacts, you got something on, and you can see it. It's because the brain doesn't understand it. Just because you see something doesn't mean that you understand it. Let's do the next slide. Now you know what it is. Now suddenly you're bringing little other pieces of the puzzle together and your brain can start to understand what you're looking at. So vision is the understanding of what is seen. So let's do the next one, if you would, there, Kyler. So here's kind of how the vision thing works. We have these four different circles. We have over here pathology. That means are your, all your parts and pieces there? Are they working good? We have refractive error. That means you need these or some contacts to see clearly. And then we have binocularity. That means you're using two eyes to work together. If you don't, you got one over here, one over there. Different things going on. It's not working so good. Then we have perception. That's how do I understand what I'm seeing? You bring all those together and you have vision. Okay? So that's the way we do things from a human nature, from a vision nature. And that's how we come up with what things are. Now, if we throw another slide up here. Now, there's probably one or two people in here and you can't talk. Aaron can't talk. There's a couple of people in here that can't talk about this. Or they can, but I won't let them. So how many of the rest of us know what that word is? No one? I'm glad to hear that. I was counting on that. So, again, here we have a word that we see it clearly, but we don't understand it. Let's do the next slide there, if you would. Aha, it's Hebrew. Word for dream, revelation, or vision. Shazon. I don't know, how do you say it, Gary? Shazon. Yeah. I listened to them. They do it with a real raspy, guttery sound, but I can't do that. So, you know, this vision is God's vision. It's God's vision for you. It's for our purpose, for what you're going to do with your life. And it doesn't have to do with can we see it. It's all about what God puts in us and how God directs us into understanding our vision and our purpose. So let me read from you. For you from Psalms 139, 3:16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So it's kind of like what we're doing here is we're kind of like those first four circles I showed you of vision. You know, those parts of the four parts of vision, it took all of those to be combined together to create the sense of vision. In God's world, He's given us some different ways to bring us all together, to give us the parts and the pieces and the experiences to create a vision for us to live under. So let's bring, go ahead and bring that next slide in here. So we'll look at the circles that God has used. And the first one would be God-given core values. I'll read to you, this is from Jeremiah 31:33. You can leave that up there if you want, or you can switch it over. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. So kind of think of the core values as the laws that God has put into our hearts to help direct us towards where it is that we need to go. Some of those would be honesty, maybe, compassion, integrity, security, trust, humility. Think of these, that they're the core values that you hold to that you're willing to die for. Somebody breaks in to your house in the middle of the night and threatens your family. Are you willing to die for that? To jump in front of them? You bet. That's a core value that you hold dearly, and that core value was instilled in you through the Almighty God. He's given that to you and placed it in your heart for you to hold and to use to help guide you throughout your life. In Ezekiel, we read, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my law. So from this text, we can see that God has taken this very seriously, placing these core values in you. And so, you know, we need to think about what it is that God has put into our hearts. It's going to be different for each one of you. Each one of us is going to have to sort through that and look at them and decide, what is my true core value? What is the thing that God has given me that's going to help direct my steps and keep me going? At times, some of those core values might seem maybe extreme. Maybe we don't want to necessarily follow some of them. But these are God's ways, and they lead to God's best for you. So it's utmost important that we follow these rules and follow these laws to the best of our abilities. There's a second circle. And by the way, when we were told as elders that we were time for us to step up and do this, I asked them, well, what makes a good sermon? Hands down, from the authorities, from the doctors and the priests and the everybody that we have that we were talking to in our pastors, they said, you know, if you go short, they're going to love your sermon. So I've held on to your words closely. Okay, for the second circle, let's look at these things. Spiritual gifts and talents. Boy, we've had sermons just on that one thing. And we've read scriptures on that, and we've looked at it, and we've tried to figure it out. To this day, it's really hard for me to think about having a spiritual gift and a talent. Can't sing, can't dance. You've already seen that. You know, maybe I can do a few of those other things. But then I realized that God did place in me something I think is a spiritual gift, and that's a passion and compassion. You know, I tend to be a really passionately compassionate person. That's a tongue twister. Yeah. Early on, you know, for some reason I'd start doing mission trips and thought that was cool. It made me feel good. And then Lord led me here and got involved in taking the Lord with us on these mission trips. That made me even feel better. And I started to realize that that's just part of me. That's what makes me feel really good. If I couldn't do mission trips, if I couldn't go to the world and help people see better, that would be a really hard thing for me to learn not to do. I don't go as often as I'd like. Maybe I'll go more. But when I do go, it puts me close to what I think the Lord really wants of me. And that's for me to be able to help people unencumbered by the real world. They don't have to pay. We don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. We just take care of people. And I have a real strong passion for that. I have a passion for bringing that to the States in a different way from a vision that I had from the Lord. That it's taken a long time to get there, but we're starting to make some headway. But I, you know, just having a place where a pastor from Pastor Mola could come back to the States, and while he's here, he'd have a place to just sit and be silent with the Lord, I think that's a good thing. And I have a passion to see that that happens. One thing you do need to know, though, is that your passions don't always equal across the board from everybody that you're around. And that's sometimes hard for me to understand. But it's mine, and the Lord gave it to me. The Lord gave you some of these things as well. Your job is to try to figure out what those are. In Romans 12, 6 to 8, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him do it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. First Corinthians 12, 4, 6. There are many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. One true God that we serve. And that one true God is a God that's speaking to your heart. I saw a program Debbie and I did yesterday. It came on PBS or something. Sometimes PBS gets some stuff that's a little out there. This gal was trying to talk to, and her audience tried to talk to him and convince him that the Bible was not really what the Bible says. Talking about how there's Baal, the God, and there's this God and that God, and there were really other gods. One true God, folks. One true God, and we bow to Him. If you haven't bowed yet, you will. So spiritual gifts, those are yours to find. There's lots of directions. In Proverbs is a great place to go and read. Read through Proverbs, and you'll probably find you a couple of spiritual gifts in there. Circle number three. This is probably the hardest one for me to put a handle on, and that's past experiences. Past experiences are all over the place. For all of us in here, they're very much different. If we look at good things, what are good things? I don't know. You know, for me, good things are, let's like, we'll put them in the category of everything's excellent. Maybe you were, you had just the most perfect mom and dad, the most perfect grandpa and grandma on both sides. Everything went beautiful in your family that way. Never any problems. Raised in church, everything's perfect. Maybe you were a great student. I wasn't. But maybe you were. Maybe you learned very easily. And it transferred on all the way through your life. And college was a snap. Easy. Maybe from there you got a great job, a perfect job. You've been making lots of money. And it's worked well for you. Maybe along the way, you even had a great talent. Maybe you were a really good football player and you got your tuition paid for. So you've had it really good. So that's kind of the way I look at good things. They're all easy street. Everything goes really good. Now, most of us are going to have a few good things along the way, I think. But I believe that a lot of us spend most of our time in the ordinary. The ordinary things of, you know, I had great parents. Didn't know my grandparents very well, but I have some good memories that hopefully those are, some of those are my memories, probably most of them are my folks, you know, passing that down to me. And I lived a good life. Did pretty good in school some of the time. A lot of the time, I had a lot of fun. But I ended up making it. Ended up getting through. It's been a pretty good life. Don't have much of a talent. I can't sing, can't dance. Told you that. I can hunt reasonably well. But I don't, you know, I'm not really, really talented in a lot of those ways. I end up with a good job where I can help people, make a good living, and I can make a difference in the world. So I've been blessed that way. And I think that's where the most of us live. Most of us spend our time in the ordinary, and I'm glad of that. There's a few of us that have some really good things that we transfer over, and they become part of our really mostly ordinary things. But then on the other side of the coin, we have the awful things. The awful things are the things that, you know, some of them happen to some of us or a lot of us. Some of us don't have that many really awful things that happen. But some of you have, and a lot of you have in here. Some of you have lost a child. Some of you may have children that you don't understand why they're not complete. Some of you had parents that didn't raise you as good parents. Maybe you had, you've been abused physically, mentally. Maybe you spent time in a home that was filled with drugs and alcohol, and your memories of parents is not good. And like some of the songs we talked about a while ago, sometimes in Marsh, and I couldn't hear it all, but, you know, it's hard to understand sometimes how God can have bad things happen to good people. But they do every day. And it's really hard to figure that all out. But then I go back when I think about those things and the hurt that it must cause the people that have to live through those. I look at the four circles that made up vision And then I kind of apply that to the three circles that God is using. And from these three circles, God is bringing together all these different things. We must have a mix of these. But some of you have been beaten down more than others. In some way, somehow, you have to know that God loves you through all these. God loves you, and He is in every season of your experiences, be they past, present, or future. Romans 8:28-31. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the fixation among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? So now we have our three circles, and they're complete. The core values, spiritual gifts, past experiences. In the middle, the emergent is Shazon. God's vision, God's purpose for you. And if you'll work in those three areas and put them together, write them down, sketch them out, you'll start to see God's purpose and vision for your life to unfold before you. God knew exactly what He was doing when He created you. He knows how much love, how much encouragement you need to be able to discover your shazon. Because God's vision is bigger than you can ever imagine. And so because of that, to be able to find His vision for you, you're going to have to stand on faith and trust in the one true God. Remember those first four circles, they bring about a vision that is figured out, that's unseen. But God's vision for us is based on faith and trust. Habakkuk 2:2-3. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks to the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Sometimes it takes a while to figure out your vision, but you have to wait for it. Yeah, I've got a little prayer here. Yeah, my mom did two great things for me. The day she died, she whispered into my ear in her last few breaths, "I love you very, very much." That was a pretty cool thing to be able to hold on to. She also gave me this little poem. I don't know when she gave it to me, a long time ago. And I carry it with me every day. So I'm going to read it to you. I might have told some of you this before. Kind of small print too, so. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care's pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is a failure turned inside out, the silver tint, the clouds in doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. So for those of you that are beaten down, remember, God loves you, and don't quit. Second Thessalonians 3:13. And you guys can come on up, Steve. And so for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. If you don't quit, if you never quit searching for God's vision, searching for God's purpose in your life, you continue to read the Word and search and follow these guidelines that He's given us in the Bible, your vision's there. It just might take you a while to find it, but it's there for you. You just have to look.